to Piercing the Veil on bbsradio.com with your hosts Jordan and Corey and new guests appearing weekly. During the show, Jordan and Corey will pierce the many veils of illusion to reveal the universal truths and tools for negotiation inherent to success in one's daily life, including but not limited to 1. Multidimensional wordsmithing. 2. Mastering and commanding negotiations. 3. Constructive trust and wealth preservation. And 4. Spirituality. Pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.
Okay. Greetings, world. This is Jordan Michael Askew. I'm your host for Piercing the Veil. Welcome back to another weekly episode. Today, we do not have Corey with us. He's otherwise engaged in business negotiations in Tucson, so I will be flying solo. For those of you who have listened to the show before, Corey has a very unique method of understanding, and he brings a very comprehensive way to explain things or sort of bounce off some of the topics that we're doing. So in an attempt to fill his shoes, I will be playing both sides of the coin. Today's show is actually about a survivor of a ET experience, or an abduction, if you will. His name is Johnny Delirious. He calls himself a master survivor. He survived and cured himself of many different ailments. He has a PhD in naturopathy, and some other things that he's been doing are pretty interesting. So we have him on the show today. If you weren't listening, last week's show was about U.S. military life, what's like to be on base, and their views towards the mainstream citizensry. And we also had Daryl Sprout, his incarceration experience. He was actually apprehended at Fort Bliss in El Paso and spent the better part of 3 weeks in a holding cell and different holding cells, and finally in a population. So you can go to the archives. That's www.bbsradio.com/piercingtheveil/archives, and that would be episode 20. Now on to today, we have Johnny Delirious, and he should be on right now. Johnny, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me on your show, Jordan.
You're very welcome, Johnny. Our listeners are in store for such a surprise. I got done reading your book for the fourth time about 30 minutes ago, and there's just so many different details that correlate or correspond with what I've known and have been saying for many, many different years about the most of the abduction experiences, I should say. They're not all one and the same in the same cart. Now, what you're talking about and the details that you go into are they just blow my mind that somebody actually has physically gone through every single one of these things that I've been espousing based on my research for so many years. So I myself am excited, and our listeners will be super excited to hear what you have to say. So if you will, Johnny, just give us a brief rundown on who you are and what you do and what you're about.
Well, thank you, Jordan. I am a master survivor and best-selling author, and I've been a health professional in the industry for over 30 years. And, in high school, five of us guys and four of our gals all came down with hepatitis A, and this was when we were sophomores. And then when we were seniors, we all, our same little group, five of us guys and four of our gals, all came down with hepatitis B. And then, in 1981, I contracted a non-A, non-B hepatitis, and it turned out to be hepatitis C, and everybody said it was going to kill me. So you could say I was a hepatitis magnet.
Well, it would appear that you had some destiny with that type of disease, or that energetic state, if you will, for that to come back three times in different forms. It would appear that it was meant to be in some way, and the way that you dealt with it was pretty interesting. So you're saying that was many years ago, and then if you could just explain a little bit more of it, what else did you get into?
Well, at the time, I discovered it was hepatitis C, I was running a laboratory, but it got so bad that I had to abandon that. That was in North Texas in a little town called Addison. And, that was back in 84 through 91. And during that time, I wore a suit and tie. I work with, you know, all my lab techs and my PhDs, the director and everything. But unfortunately, since the hepatitis C was killing me, and I didn't know it was hepatitis C at that time, you know, the coffee wasn't doing any good. I was excited about the job and the lab. It was just, you know, I always wanted to be a scientist, and here I was. And, you know, coffee wasn't doing any good, and so I started doing cocaine, and so that was like a thing to kind of keep me pepped up and keep me talking to all those guys about their heavy-duty science and biochemistry and all that, and developing, you know, the protocols and everything for the doctors. And, you know, unfortunately, it is a stimulant, but it is, you know, very habit-forming. So, and then at that particular time, I had an abduction experience, and that was the reason for the abduction. The American military working with Grays, and they wanted to see how my mind was working, you know, going to a laboratory and doing cocaine every day, not getting enough sleep. You know, how can this guy do it? We're trying to get, you know, our men to fly these ships that we've developed the technology, but we can't get them to fly the ships the way the aliens do. But here's this guy doing cocaine all the time, and he's running a laboratory. So that was why they abducted me. And, you know, that I kind of am a little bit different from a normal regular ET abduction experience. Mine was right. American military with ETs.
Interesting. Yeah, and you don't necessarily see that disclosed too often, even in most of the pervading or I should say most popular negative ET experiences that have been broadcast, you know, on the internet, and everybody that comes forward, and even the Disclosure Project that happened. There's a number of interviews there where individuals describe gray aliens, and for you to describe a overt and clearly long-standing cooperation or some sort of agreement or joint operations between the U.S. military and the some races, if you will, including the Grays, that right there is really important to me, because I've been saying for years, Johnny, that a majority of the negative experiences that people are having are just joint conducted hybridization programs and studies where, you know, a certain class of people or certain genomes or certain types of people who are able to operate at extreme stress levels or so on and so forth. Anything that could be considered a military advantage, especially for long-term deep space travel, any types of advanced intelligence machinery, so on and so forth. I think all of that together comprises the primary operating directives of these programs. You know what I mean? So that manifests in specific negative experiences, and you're one of the very few that I've ever heard of, let alone talked to, that we're able to see right off the bat, hey, look, this is like a well-established operation between these two races. What's going on here?
Yes, you know, I have to back up a little bit, and I'm going to tie it all together in a real short New York minute. Mm. It's funny, you know, I've given talks all over the country for 20-something years, and if I talk to, you know, the drug treatment centers about addiction, you know, they don't want to hear about UFOs. And if I talk to the MUFON people, you know, the Mutual UFO Networks, you know, they don't want to hear about cocaine, you know. And then when I talk to the doctors about my, you know, hepatitis recovery and good liver health and everything, they don't want to hear about cocaine or the UFOs. So, I mean, kind of, you know, everybody's sort of incredulous if I tell my full story. And what I was able to see during that experience really tied it all together and helped me see through, you know, and that's why I love being on your show, Piercing the Veil, and helped me see, you know, who was behind the curtain. It wasn't just that big screen and Oz, I'm the Great Oz. There's something going on behind the scenes, and what I was able to see, you know, when I... That's what shocked me and shocked the UFO people when I told them. I said, well, these military guys were telling the Grays what to do. And they go, oh, shut up, you know, and they just couldn't take that. And on top of that, they let me, you know, once they put the implant in, I figured that they had, it's kind of like putting a wiretap on a telephone line and you hear the phone conversation. You know, they had a wiretap on my nerve, and so they could see my brain activity because they wanted to see, and they let me do cocaine while I, and just let me wander around. So once they put that implant in me, it's like they wanted to monitor me remotely in my brain to see what I was going to do. And I was being watched, but at the same time, I was able to wander freely on the ship.
Interesting. Yeah, and I think our listeners would definitely like a quick rundown. I mean, generally, I know you contracted those illnesses at an early age, if you will, and then you went on throughout life, and then you took that job at the lab, and it sort of all just popped off from there. If you want to just start from there and maybe wrap it up on how you got onto the ship, you know, what exactly happened to you while you were there. You have free rein, Johnny. I'm not here to restrict you or censor you in any way, quite the opposite. We're more than willing to share any long-term etheric or spiritual planning or any of these types of things that are overshadowing the actual control structure of the planet that people refer to as a New World Order or the Illuminati, which are merely just puppets compared to what's been happening for thousands of years. So go for it, however you want to describe it, whatever you want to talk about, free reign.
Yeah, thank you for being you and let me do that, because we do have a kind of a wall-to-wall carpet of a full-spectrum dominance on our whole civilization here that we, you know, we think we're in this, you know, we've got freedom, and we think we're in this world, and we can do what we want, but actually we're being dominated and quite controlled and quite, confined within not only our spiritual being, but our mental as well as our physical. So, you know, when I got abducted that night, it was funny because I just got some cocaine. And I had my briefcase on my shoulder, and so I couldn't accomplish all the things that I wanted to do that evening with some women, you know, or a woman. And so, ho-hum. So I go home, and, you know, it was like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And it was like a first week of December, and it was kind of warm that night for December. And, you know, it was in Dallas, and went back to Richardson. And so anyway, long story short, all of a sudden, the bright light thing appeared. And I couldn't tell whether the light was inside me or outside me or whatever. And the next thing I knew, I was floating in this ship, what I call a craft, and I was looking in. Once everything kind of cleared up, I still had my briefcase on my, you know, I had a shoulder strap, still had it on my shoulder, and I saw these military guys stand there, two little grays with the big heads and the big black eyes, you know, were at the controls in the center, and then I saw some other guys that were humanoid. I don't know if they're American or French or whatever, but they were strapped down in gurneys. But anyway, long story short, fast forward, we ended up going as we got closer and closer to the moon. Because it was funny, I could see through the wall to the outside, but yet it kind of felt like jello or jelly.
Right.
I could push my hand, that scared me because I could push through it, but it was see-through. But yet it still had a membrane that protected me from the outside. And I was floating around the outside, and I was looking in on the inside people. Anyway, we ended up on a big ship because as we got closer and closer to the moon, we got closer and closer to this cigar-shaped, what some people would call a mothership. So that was my ultimate destination, and that's where the implant occurred. They put it in my, you know, my left index, my left hand index finger. And once that was in place, they let me wander around. And then there's some other times that I was just sitting with a little gray. And I must say at this point that there are biological grays, and then there's kind of what I call the Roboton grays, which are machine-like. Kind of like, you know, Luke Skywalker asked Obi-Wan, you know, what his father was like, and he said, you know, Obi-Wan said, well, he's mostly machine now, you know. So I saw the two types. There are some that definitely had a spirit about them, so they're biological. And then there's others that I consider artificial intelligence or just, you know. But they all tapped into what I call the group mind or Gray's group mind. And that was both hardware as well as biological archive. What I call it the resourcery archive, you know, with some people... And I can't say the mind of the Grays. I'll just say, well, I tapped into my resourcery archive, and I got those healing secrets. So by the time all this was over, and I come back, and I was gone for over a week. But yet, I didn't have much beard growth. I mean, if I go a day or so, I'm pretty scruffy, you know, without shaving, you know. And I came back. I didn't have any beard growth. But yet there are newspapers all in my yard. I get back to the lab, everybody's yelling at me because I missed payroll. You know, they were waiting for two paychecks. So it was a real mess. And everything just really got bad for me personally after that because I couldn't stop doing cocaine. And yet I couldn't stop thinking about this experience that I had. And mm-hmm. So over the years, and once I closed the lab, my hep C was so bad. But over those years... you know, my sobriety date from the cocaine is 1991 of March, and I kept over 14 spiral notebooks. Every time I'd get a memory flashback or whatever, I would jot it down in my 14 spiral notebooks. So the hep C, you know, I had 12 million hepatitis C viral load, which is like a lot. Wow. Some people get all scared because they got 5 or 6 million. Well, I had 12 million. And I had 96% scar tissue. So things were really bad, and nobody said I was going to survive, and my liver enzyme levels were definitely off the chart. But I, you know, once I got free of the cocaine, and once, you know, and that was, you know, AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, and, you know, there's a lot of details on all of that, but basically... you know, I haven't had any cocaine or drink or drugs since March of 1991, but then I had this hep C problem, and I had this 96% liver cirrhosis. Everybody said I was going to die. When I refused the treatment that they wanted to do the liver transplant, they said that was the only way I'd survive. I'll never forget that doctor. You know, she was all... nice and all polite, and then when I refused the treatment, all of a sudden the accent came out, you know. Yeah. And I knew a girl from South Boston, I know the accent. And she says, you know what your problem is? And by this time she's putting her hands on her hips because I said, I'm just not going to do that transplant. I just can't do it. And she goes, you're not thinking right. You're just delirious. That's your problem. Like that. And then I said, are you from South Boston? And she just, her face just turned pink with anger. And she said, what are you going to do? You're going to die. And I said, well, I might do herbs. She goes, herbs, oh, my God. So at that point, I just had to get away from them and refuse the transplant. I made it to the door, and I was just to get them out. They're yelling at me, and just to get it out of my mind, I was just singing, just softly to myself, when Johnny comes marching home again, hurrah, because if I do it their way, I'm going to die. You know, there was only 6 years for most transplant recipients anyway.
Right.
So I said, all right, I'm going to die definitely if I do the transplant in 6 years. So that's not life. So if I don't do it there, you know, so all I was doing was singing Johnny. And so by the time I got to the door, she goes, all right, Johnny Delirious, you go outside that door, you're a dead man. So, you know, that's how I got the name, okay?
Interesting.
And so then, I guess, just to prove everybody wrong, I just searched and searched and searched for a way to heal. And I just finally, got to a point where I call it my no-progress plateau, where I went down to 5.4 million viral load. Now, looking good, I was feeling good, I was but I still had that 5.4 million viral load. So at that point, you know, that may be a different part, but that's when I had that dream, and that's when I started going back into the alien group mind. Because
interesting.
Yeah. Okay. And so, I don't know where we are on time, but I could go just for a couple minutes and tell what that's about.
Yeah, but, we have plenty of time. We were going to go to commercial real quick, and I was going to let you run down the rest of anything that you wanted to do, and especially touch on the healing and how you got yourself past that final stage with the assistance of the downloads you were receiving. But for the benefit of our listeners, I'll just reiterate my understanding, which this whole story is just fascinating to me. I'm a completely trusting and accepting person. I'm extremely open-minded, and I have a very large base knowledge of resource information and research and many, many years of knowing and understanding. And so based on that, I can just generally tell 99.9% of the time when somebody's talking and speaking in a real manner and speaking about real things or events that happened. And just reading your book as well, Johnny, was fascinating because everything that I've been seeing for years, you know, you're describing very clearly there. So just as a brief rundown, my understanding is you contracted multiple versions of hepatitis when you were younger. Later on in your life, you actually got a lab job, or you were the director of some sort of title executive at a lab, and the stressful hours and the stress of the job and, you know, your hep C was wearing you down, so you tried to counter that with different types of things like coffee. That didn't work, so you moved to cocaine. And at that point, one night coming back from the club, I believe, you had just scored something and you were getting into your garage, and then all of a sudden that white light thing that you described happened. And it's interesting, in your book you described the feeling of being frozen and not even realizing it for a second or two, but then you realize that you're just frozen there. That's actually something that's very common that I find when I research negative experiences of this type. And it seems to be some sort of
religious experience. I thought I was having, you know, because I was calm. That's
yes.
what it was.
Yeah, and we'll get to that point. That's another thing I wanted to talk about, was the lack of your fear, and we'll get to that after the commercial. But it appears that you got put into a stasis field of some sort and then transported, and the next thing that you remember after losing consciousness, or maybe, you know, you were able to see finally from the shock, you were floating on the ship, then they allowed you to walk around, you had some interactions after you had an implant put in you, and then we'll save the rest for later. But that pretty much sums it up, right? Is that what happened to you so far?
Absolutely. And I'd like to touch up on how, you know, when we start back, on how I found, you know, re-entered the group mind and found my, got off my healing, no progress plateau.
Perfect. All right, we'll definitely get to that. Thank you, Johnny, for now. Let's go to commercial break, listeners. When we get back, we'll have Johnny Delirious tell the rest of his story.
In a world of pharmaceutical poison, one man has healed himself of serious addiction and disease without drugs or invasive surgery. Meet Johnny Delirious, master survivor, author, lecturer, and a PhD in naturopathy. Johnny, who is an experiencer of alien abduction by negatively oriented grays, has written numerous healing manuals which combine a holistic approach with information he gleaned from the group mind of the grays. Johnny is available for public events, lectures, and consultations. Call 972-825-7912 or email jdelirious59111@yahoo.com and start your journey to healing today.
All right. Welcome back, listeners, to another episode of Piercing the Veil. If you haven't been listening so far today, we are speaking with Johnny Delirious. He's a master survivor, and he's healed himself of different types of ailments. He's also an ET experiencer. He's experienced a negative abduction at the hands of the Greys and the U.S. military in collaboration. We went briefly through his story, I should say, and he's going to expound on that as to what really happened on the ship when he was already taken. He's being brought to a cigar-shaped mothership that was seemed to be based around the moon, perhaps on the dark side of the moon. Johnny, can you get into that and pick up from there?
Sure. I found that it was making, you know, one geosynchronous, but it was orbiting. around the moon. And what I found very interesting when I saw the surface of the moon, there was a, you know, they say, you know, there's structures on the moon. Well, most of the structures that I saw were right on the edge of the dark side and where it begins to turn light. So, you know, there are a lot of buildings on the dark side, but there was a lot right there on that borderline. So maybe they had the solar cells on one side and all the buildings on the other. I don't know, but I definitely saw buildings on the moon everywhere. Now,
yeah. You, I'm sorry to break in, but I just want to touch on this before we get lost off this topic. You mentioned in your book the moon being metallic and being an artificial object. And I've been saying that for so long that it's a hollow satellite, and it's used for many different purposes, but mainly transmitting different frequencies to stations. And those stations have the capability of monitoring every single thought and word, speech, action, everything of every person and every animal on the planet, and also are capable of seeing in real time anywhere as well, and some other creepy things like influencing emotions and controlling, you know, amplifying the water on the earth to send this energy through the ley lines, all sorts of crazy, crazy stuff that now seems to be confirmed by your direct experience. So I just wanted to bring that up. And NASA actually had an experience when one of their landers crashed into the moon in 79, I believe. Johnny, you might actually remember this. They said the moon rang like a bell for hours.
Oh, yeah. As people can see it with their naked eye, if you look at the part facing us, is the big kind of dark, shiny part is like the Sea of Tranquility. And on that particular section, it's very clean. It looks like metal. I mean, it's like dust on top of an aluminum ball. And, you know, the moon is definitely an artificial body built many hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years ago, but it does have a purpose, and it's involved with harmonics and frequency, as opposed, you know, an electromagnetic, as opposed to electrical or gravionic. It's a harmonic thing. So, you know, harmonics actually have a lot of power, and we haven't even overtly tapped into that. Now, covertly, maybe there are programs that do that, and I'm sure they are, because we do have a breakaway civilization on this planet. However, one of the main, you know, when I was so sick after all this experience, I kind of had to face myself and just say, well, I could either check out like a flash in a pan, or I had to face myself and say, all I got to do is get rid of that hepatitis and get my liver back in shape. You know, if I do that, I'll probably, you know, I'm going to make it. And anyway, so I actually went out to a treatment center in Mexico near south of San Diego, near Tijuana and Playa Rosarita, and it was a clinic, and, you know, that didn't do me any good, really. The blood test still revealed 5.4 million viral load after doing 4 weeks in this hospital. You know, it didn't hurt me. It helped, but basically, I just had a real heart-to-heart with the universe and God and everything else that might be there, and just say, look, if you want me to go, I'll go. But if you want me to stay, help me get rid of this hepatitis. And that night I had a dream that I'll never forget. It was so lucid. It was almost like I was looking at myself at one point, and then at another point I was like in the dream, but I was helping a medical doctor recover from hepatitis C in the dream. And that was so profound. Wow. That, I'm telling him all these things, and what got me is like some of it was familiar, and then some of it was a little bit different. And the doctor said, well, you know, what you're talking about is a little bit different doing this and that. Where'd you find out about this? And in the dream, I told him I found out from the group 9 of the Grays. And boom, at that point, I woke up in a sweat of joy in my bed in the hospital. And I'm like, wow, you know, because in the dream, he said, well, you mean the group mind for your grades? I said, well, I got it from my 14 spiral notebook. And so when I woke up in the hospital, I said, that's what I got to do. I got to get back to those 14 spiral notebooks. And then once I could figure out what I told that doctor, you know, I can cure myself. And it was prophetic. I remember the face of the doctor, you know, and I helped him later. It was a few years later, but it was a prophetic dream. And so I went through, you know, went back, left the very next day from the hospital and flew back. And as soon as I put together the new protocols, went through the 14 spiral notebooks, I went back into the group mind of the grays, which is kind of like a intuitive kind of para, it's sort of hard to understand, but it's kind of like a mind experience with somebody, you know, intuition. Some people call it telepathy or whatever.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, there's some people that channel, and there's some people do this and do that. Well, this group mind of the grays, like I said, they have a biological as well as a hardware archive that's constantly being updated at all times. So what goes on in all their brains, it's just like ants or bees, you know, it's a group mind. And so you step on one fire ant, and
yes,
about 100 come after you within a few seconds.
Or one bites, they all crawl on you, and then one bites, and then they all start biting from there because they're refreshed, updated. It's like hitting the refresh button, and then all of the entities, the biological entities connected, are getting the entire new experience on the whole of everything. So if one was, you know, crawling under a street and the other one was getting picked up by a bird and the other one was biting a human on its foot, all that is in the rest of them constantly being updated is what you're describing.
There's hardware and there's biological archive. And it's tied together. That's why I call it the resourcery archive, because, you know, some of it, you know, is just playing out in the ethers and some of it is actually in hardware. But anyway, so when I went back through my spiral notebooks and was recalling this experience that I had on the mothership, I, you know, had a special interest in health and, of course, plants and that sort of thing. So everything that I had an interest in, I could really pull a lot of information out. So as far as the liver, as far as, you know, health, as far as the therapies that it takes to get rid of it, Just like I did in the lab, you know, I used the scientific method and, you know, put it all together in a whole new, you know, methodology. And so as soon as I put that to work, and about 2 or 3 days later after getting home, I mean, I tried for 9-10 months, but stayed at 5.4 million viral load. As soon as I put my new therapy into practice, in less than 2 months, I went from 5.4 million viral load to zero. And shortly after that, a few months after that, I went and had no scar tissue, no antibodies. They say that you'll never get rid of the antibodies, but if you get rid of the last virus, you will not have antibodies because your body is not fighting any virus, making antibodies because there's no virus.
That's right.
So, yeah, so I, you know, I got rid of my cirrhosis. I got rid of all my hepatitis. And if I ever had a blood test in the last 25 years, they said I've never had hepatitis. So it's amazing. And some people, it's just over the top, and they are incredulous. However, I'm the walking, all those people that poo-pooed me, like my family, said I was going to die. They will definitely back me up on that because I had hepatitis. I had cirrhosis. They said I was a goner. I mean, nobody believed me. I was on my own. So I'm just telling you that I actually did recover. And because my story is so profound, when I do speak to medical doctors, it's funny. I get one or two each time that pull me aside and say, look, I need to talk to you privately, you know? And I've helped a couple of medical doctors recover from hepatitis because they don't want the interferon, they don't want the Harvani, they didn't want, you know, anything to do with that, and they didn't want anybody to know they had it either. They were trying to secretly get rid of it, you know? like they secretly got it. So it's kind of like that's where I've come in, is helping people when the doctors can't help them or they don't want help from the drugs. So we don't need drugs. All we need is to take care of our body and to do it right, and it will do us right.
Interesting. Wow. Yeah, that sounds fantastic, man. And just to jump or segue back onto the ship real quick, because that's really sure. My main concern. The healing is also important as well. But at some point, I believe that you were implanted, but then it appears that you had some level of liberty or freedom to roam about, whereas other people were being strapped down. You may have heard some screams of torture or something going on, or experimentation, or all these things that you mentioned. And then all of a sudden you're being babysitted, for lack of a better term, by these two young grays, and one of them walks out of the room, I believe, in your book you describe this. And then at that point, you were able to sort of enter the field or the aura of that gray by just sneaking, you know, remaining calm and sneaking ever so closer, and until all of a sudden ideas and images and concepts started flooding your brain. And I believe that this dream and you're writing down in the journals and the spiral notebooks is basically the natural process of how higher advanced civilizations communicate. They communicate in packets of data, in symbols, in things, sort of like, think of it as a zip file for your brain, and it just unloads over, you know, so it doesn't burn you out. It'll unload over the course of time, and who knows, 2, 4, 6 months later, you have this huge epiphany, and all of a sudden, now you've got this idea or this concept, or you start a new business, or you develop a healing method. You see what I'm saying?
This is what
I understand, how this works. Can you confirm that, or maybe elaborate?
Absolutely. I think because he was young, I had that opportunity, because the grays, I just tell people what I learned. The original race is nothing like the little gray, you know, little 3 and 4 feet tall, big head. That's kind of the off breed, you know, or the new breed to kind of preserve their, you know, genes and preserve their archive, preserve their group mind. There's less than 100 of the original race left. You know, it's probably 60 or 70 of them, and they're tall, 15 to 18 foot praying mantis kind of beings. But they're dying off. They just can't make it. So they've tried all these hybridizations, and they've tried all these cooperations with a few groups on the planet, but this one gray that I was with is kind of like he was out walking, a little kid walking the dog or watching a babysit me, and because he was young, and you know, that he was learning stuff, so you know, like kids are, they're quizzical about things. So as I moved closer to him, I couldn't find any aggression from him, and I just all of a sudden started seeing things or capturing things mentally and telepathically. And whenever I posed a question in my mind that I was curious about, if it was posed in the right way, I'd get answers. They just, boom, appear in my mind, the answers. So, you know, as long as I was very agile and very, very gentle about it, that's not the best word, but, you know, when I pose a question. So all of a sudden I'd pose these questions. Well, what about, you know, the plant kingdom? Or what about this? What's that? You know, and I'd either get an acknowledgement, or I didn't. If I didn't pose the question right, nothing would happen, because I wasn't, you know, tapping into the truth. Or, you know, in other words, it's kind of like, okay, refrigerators are made by dogs. You know, well, nothing would happen at that point.
Well, what you're talking about, I completely understand. It's so awesome that you experience this level of technology. Johnny, correct me if I'm wrong. What's happening is a vibrational keyed query So your telepathic or your verbal query has to be of a, such a specific nature so as to connect and activate a response from the hive mind or the database, much the same in the way that somebody would get a stupid answer from Siri on their iPhone if they didn't ask it properly, or you would get stupid results in Google if you didn't search properly. So it really right. speaks to the mechanical nature of it being transmitted and spread through the biological receiver software, if you will. And I think that you having to be specific is really, really cool. And it's just like a computer that you're responding or you're getting responses from.
Yeah. It's like if I'm thinking, okay, refrigerators are made by dogs, I'd get nothing. But then I would go, well, refrigerators might have something to do with General Electric. And then, bingo, all yeah. of a sudden, this whole thing would open up. And like, which way do I go? You know,
you've accessed the truth spectrum. It was you're yeah. able to access a slice of the data, which only true, logical, verified data will be held there, because they wouldn't be holding nonsense and wasting their space in their database. So it makes sense that if you said refrigerators were made by dogs, to use your example, if that's not true in that reality or in their understanding of the database, it's automatically going to reject that. That is super cool. Can you tell me a little bit more about how they interacted with their ship? Is it through these little implant things that they put in you? Or?
Well, when I first got there, it was on what I call a remote or reconnaissance ship, you know, like the flying saucers that, you know, you see so much in the folklore, right? You know, they're not that big, you know, 100 feet or under, you know. But the mothership, now that was huge, because as we're approaching it, I saw it off in the distance, and we kept going, and it got bigger and bigger, and pretty soon the mothership covered everything. It covered the moon, everything. It was huge. It must have been miles long. However, I saw, the last thing I remember is we're going inside one of the bays, and at that point I blacked out, and then I woke up in this place. It was like a big theater kind of thing, and shortly after that I got the implants, and I heard these screams and everything, but all I remember is right after that, and I'm back with the grays, I have a Band-Aid on my hand and my finger, and my finger's making a hum. So, you know, I asked, you know, that was one thing that I really appreciated about the group. And on top of this all, here's the real juggler that freaks people out. You know, they let me do coke. I mean, because I just said, well, shoot, what do I got to lose, you know? I'm in orbit around the moon, you know, I might as well do some coke and feel better, right?
Right.
So I was doing coke, and they let me do that, and by the time I got the implant, it's almost like, you know, when I got a big blast, and all of a sudden I've got this alertness and everything, and I'm telepathic with the little gray. And I'm just pursuing things that I'm interested in, whether it was about, you know, cocaine and where it came from, or whether it was about the world government, or whether it was about, you know, the healing or the liver, or whether it was about, you know, whatever. So I'm pursuing all those things, and much of it I didn't remember till, you know, a year or so later. And every time I get a memory of it, I jot it down in 14 spiral notebooks. So, the mothership, you know, it's like you always hear about people picking up fragments. Well, I picked up little trash from the air filters, and no special metal that would melt and then straighten back up or anything. But, you know, they're just things that I swear they probably end up, you know, like Hershey Kisses wrappers, because I saw a few other people there that must have been contractors, because they had, you know, tool belts and things like that, but just power tools. They were like very sophisticated tools. I mean, not like somebody out here as a carpenter. I mean, their tool belts had very, I've never seen people like that with those kind of, but they were just, they would just look straight ahead. They wouldn't talk to anybody. I tried to talk with a couple of them. They just like, no, you know. And plus, you know, the military guys were so mean to me. That's what really got me, is I was really scared of them. They scared me more than anybody else. And you know, and they called me a 309. They said I was a 309. So, and then I found out the guys in the stretchers that I think were operated on, probably where the screams come, they were a 319. So, I know a little bit about the military. They've got acronyms and everything like that. But that's one thing I posed to the group mine. I said, is the 309, the 319, those must be acronyms. And bingo, you know, all of a sudden I got information that I was curious about. So three were the number of drugs that have been used by the subject, or, you know, three or less in my case, because I was already using cocaine. I wasn't using any other drugs. But, you know, they don't want people using just any old drug. They don't want people using a lot of drugs. But if it's less than three, then they'll take them for whatever use. And then the middle number, for me, it was a zero, was the number of arrests. And then the last number was the amount of time, you know, that has been use of the drugs. So obviously they were, harvesting prisoners, you know, who were in prison for drugs, because they wanted organs or wanted fluids or whatever, and or wanted to use their mind or whatever. But in my case, I was a 309, and one of the military guys says, "Oh, we don't, the floaters are 309. We don't get many of those." And he said, "Yeah, he's some, you know, blankety blank blank guy that, you know, does cocaine all the time running a laboratory." And so, you know, I know that's, you know, and the guy's orders were to leave me alone, let me do whatever I wanted to do. Whereas the other ones were in gurneys, they were rolled off, and who knows what happened to them. So I think their whole purpose was to monitor how my mind was functioning, and by me accessing the group mind and all that, they probably monitored her all that too in their own way with the, you know, the American military. Because at that time, in 1989, they were trying to figure out how to fly these ships, you know, with their own people, you know, their own Americano kind of guys.
They needed advanced levels of connections, I imagine. They needed to, more cognitive ability was required.
Yeah, it was definitely a mental ability. You know, you put your hands in the console. I mean, the Greys just put their hands in the consoles and would run the ship. But see, the Americans, you know, couldn't do that. They had anti-gravitation. They had that. They put it in the B-2 bomber. They had all kinds of stuff. But to run the ship with the whole, you know, zero point or the whole, different technologies, they couldn't do it with the Gray in 1989. They can today, with some limited pilots, but they're getting better at it. But one of the studies was, you know, you use up a lot of tryptophan when you're making a lot of dopamine in your brain, which cocaine makes you have a lot of dopamine. So, you know, by using up all that amino acid, that's one thing that gets triggered, but most people, you know, will just start fading out. For some reason, I was an oddity because I could, you know, continue to go, or I was able to make more tryptophan or something. But that's the chemistry of it. But at the same time, you know, the mental cognitive ability to run the ship through the mental powers, that was something that they thought they could learn from me, or learn one aspect to conquer that ability to do that.
So, right. Yeah, it sounds like they were having a running experiment on your reactions, your interactions, your processing abilities under influence or not, and then also put, you know, the transplant in you, or the implant for future monitoring purposes. And that's a real common occurrence, and there's all sorts of different details that we can go into. We're kind of running out of time here, but I definitely want to bring you back for another show if you'd be willing. Is that something that you would like to do? Or
sure, I'll be happy to, because there's so many different aspects of this, and you know, whether it's the healing aspect, whether it's what's going on, because I found out a lot about what's going on in the world,
Exactly.
The world leaders are being, you know, manipulated by cocaine for the last 5 or 6,000 years. That was a real eye opener for me. You know, and there's just a lot of other material that I found out that I'll be happy to share at any point, Jordan.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay, great. That's all the stuff that you just mentioned is what I wanted to get into, the long-term planning, all the stuff that's been happening over the course of millions of years, the spiritual control over the nature, the physics of the dynamics of the universe, all these different things that are happening, and who are the controllers, what's happening in the background, or the higher levels, or the super physical, I think your book calls it. All those things I really want to touch on. So for right now, what we'll do is we'll go to our second commercial break, and when we come back, Johnny, I'll let you wrap up anything that you think you might have missed, any details you want to share, or if you want to plug your books and give the names and where they can find them, all of those types of things we'll do when we get back. Okay?
Okay, fantastic.
Great.
Meet Corey, musician, philosophical artist, designer builder, and co-host of Piercing the Veil, a booming radio show that focuses on spreading rare or esoteric knowledge to the world. When he's not doing art, making music, or hosting on the air, Corey is an experienced life coach specializing in wealth management, preservation, and acquisition. For a free 15-minute consultation, call 1-520-2332 or email cr_s@unseen.is. Expand your possibilities and thrive today.
All right. Welcome back, listeners. This is Jordan Michael. Corey's gone today. If you haven't been listening so far, we're here with Johnny Delirious. And Johnny, if you wanted to wrap up at this time, anything that you think you might have missed or any details, please feel free to do so. I've really enjoyed you on the show here today, and we're definitely going to get you on for maybe another few shows as well. So okay. at your convenience.
Thank you, Jordan. It's been a pleasure to be on your show, Piercing the Veil. I think it's really great. A lot of these things are actually simpler than people realize, whether it's health or whether it's, you know, who runs our planet or politics. Much simpler than anybody realizes. That's what they don't want you to understand, is that it's actually very simple. Once you understand it, then you don't have to be bound by it. So anybody can find me on johnnydelirious.com. That's my website. It default into my archive site, and you can check out my books on my archive site. It's right under store. You click on store, see all my books, what I'm about. And I'm on YouTube all over the place. But once you go to my site, you'll understand exactly what I'm about. And it's just a real pleasure to be on the show with you, Jordan, that just let me talk freely. And that to me is just a real, real pleasure. Thank you for being you, Jordan.
You're welcome, Johnny. I really appreciate the acknowledgement. You did a fantastic job. You really intrigued me, and I really want to have some of these specific questions answered from you that I've been trying to fill in the blanks on my general understanding. So I think definitely within the next month, if you're available, we need to get you back on. You did an excellent job here today disclosing all the important information that needs to get out there, you know, which is our purpose. It's what we're here doing the show for. It's why I keep doing this week after week, just consistently trying to bring to the forefront of today's modern society all the esoteric knowledge that they've been missing out on for hundreds of thousands of years, and then how to apply it in their lives. And it seems like you've got the inside track, so we'll have you back on very, very soon. Johnny, thank you very much, man. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week, and I will be in touch with you shortly. Okay?
No problem. Thank you, Jordan.
You're very welcome. Okay, listeners, next week's show is going to be a general question and answer show. Anything that you have, any comments, questions, concerns, any realm, domain, or topic, we're more than happy to answer and give you some analysis on that. And we'll also be shouting out to Plague and talking about a few things that they're doing. They have a few exciting developments that's moving to PC and Mac. Plague is a social media powerhouse. It's sort of the non-censored, I would say, direct competition of Facebook. It doesn't have all the features yet that Facebook would have, but it is actually expanding quite rapidly, and it's very, very useful for spreading and sharing information. So, thank you very much. I really appreciate you listening to the show. Anywhere that you are on this planet, I wish you the best, and just keep looking within. We'll see you next week.